Welcome to The Takeaway. I'm Melissa Harris-Perry, and today I'm grieving, along with whole communities of women, of writers, of readers, of thinkers, of teachers and students. I am mourning the devastating loss of a diminutive giant. At the age of 69, Gloria Jean Watkins, who wrote under the pen name Bell Hooks as a tribute to her great-grandmother, Bell Blair Hooks, made her final transition to the ancestors.
One of the ways that you can work for freedom is to change your mind and to move away from the space of binaries, of simplistic either ors, both and to be able to look at the picture that offers us complexity.
Now, Hooks spelled her name with all lowercase letters. It was a literary insistence that it is the work, not the author, that occupies the center.
I came up really out of nowhere, you know, Little Bell Hooks writing Ain't I a Woman, Black Woman, and Feminism, and that sometimes I do feel like, wow, you know, there is this audience that reads Bell Hooks and that tells me how my work has affected their life. And I think as a Black woman writer, that is so amazing. And I think that to be a Black woman writer of nonfiction and to be read is to be blessed and highly favored.
In that moment there that we just heard, Hooks is speaking at the New School in 2013. And it is the one time I shared a stage with this author and thinker whose writing altered the trajectory of my life. It was the feminism of Bell Hooks that created space and then challenged so many of us just emerging Black girl thinkers, to fill it, to transform it, to expand it. And as I told her on that night,
none of us come to Black feminism except through you.
Writer and filmmaker Dream Hampton remembered Hooks in an obituary for Time magazine, writing, quote, "When I was 19 and began talking back to hip-hop in my own essays and articles, I'd cite her again and again. I fought to have my name published in lowercase letters like hers. I wanted to be incisive and battle-ready when I wrote." And Hooks was incisive and battle-ready, but she was also deeply human. She was committed not only to exploring the full range of the scholarly, academic, and intellectual, she was also determined to plumb the depths of the interior, the emotional, and the sacred. It was the entire messy reality of humanity that engaged her. And Hooks is among the most prolific writers of our age, leaving as her legacy more than 30 books. Books that will be discovered by the young and by the old, who are groping and curious, distressed, angry, and ready to make a more just and whole world. There were years when Bell Hooks wrote more books than most people read in a year. And in her 1999 text, Remembered Rapture, The Writer at Work, she wrote, quote, "No Black woman writer in this culture can write too much. Indeed, no woman writer can write too much. No woman has ever written enough." Bell Hooks is gone, but her books live. With me now is Alondra Nelson, the Harold F. Linder Professor of Social Science at the Institute for Advanced Study. Alondra, welcome back to The Takeaway.
Thanks for having me, Melissa.
Let me just start. How are you feeling? Where were you when you heard about Bell's passing?
I am feeling a little gutted, actually. I was quite surprised by how profoundly and deeply I feel the loss. I mean, I'm not surprised that I feel her loss and sadness, but I think it took me by surprise how emotional, you know, I felt about it. And it also took me back immediately to the first time that I read Bell Hooks. I grew up in San Diego. I think I was 18. I was outside at Balboa Park among the trees reading her. And I just remember my world opened up. And so I can't, there's probably, you know, I've read a lot of books. We read a lot of books, but I can't say that there are many that I remember the day, the moment when I read, you know, this person's words and that they transformed my world and how I think about the world. So it is a big loss for all of us. But as you said so beautifully, she left so much, and she was so intentional about the fact that writing and intellectual work is you know, taken from women writers and Black women writers in particular. We're distracted by other things and tasked with doing all too much. And to have published almost 30 books and to leave behind all of this work is just extraordinary. So I also feel, as sad as I feel like she did leave so many gifts behind for us. That's extraordinary.
You know, this point that you make about being tasked with so many other things, whether they're domestic in nature, community in nature, institutional building. And yet, Belle wasn't completely outside of those relationships. She was deeply embedded in her family relationships, had quite a tight-knit community of sister scholars and activists around her, and, of course, taught right up until the end, was an active teacher at a small school in Kentucky where she was born. I wonder if you have any insight into that decision. She, you know, she wasn't at Harvard or at Princeton. I think of the huge fight that the country engaged in really around Nicole Hannah Jones, a substantial scholar and journalist herself, around the University of North Carolina position. But I honestly don't know if Belle was ever offered a position like that. Was she given kind of the space to be free of the other duties?
I think so. And, you know, let's not forget that so much of her writing is about freedom in the margins. You know, she writes about the openness of being in the margins. And so she really, I think, understood, you know, certainly could have had, you know, a job at any leading institution in the world, frankly, not just in the United States. But the radical possibilities, the ability to do one's work and have more freedom, you know, being at a small college in Kentucky, I think certainly must have been top of mind for someone who wrote about, you know, there being power and openness and possibility in the margins. So I would love to think of that as a very deliberate strategic choice on her part. And I also think how extraordinary it was that she went home. You know, she went back to Kentucky, you know, 15 or 20 years ago. And so not only did she make different choices about where she wanted to be, also, you know, as a theorist of location and speaking from location and space, she also went home.
I so appreciate you using the word that I wanted us to dig into a bit, which is radical. It is a word so many, and particularly so many in the academy today, would shy away from because of the connotations within it, what it might mean for one's careerism and one's capacity to move into the center in a very particular way. And yet she not only embraced it, she showed us what it meant to live into radical values and to write into radical values. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes, in so many ways. I mean, you know, first, one way we can think about it is just genre. You know, I think, you know, the world tells us, particularly now, you know, you've got to have your brand and your platform, and it's got to be, you know, this thing, and you've got to be disciplined about it. And, you know, she was willing to explode genre and to write across genre. So, you know, for me, one of the sort of impacts, the reason she was so impactful in part for me was that she was so forthright and bold in her writing. She said what she thought, you know, and it didn't. And also that she wrote so clearly and passionately. But she was able to do that in memoir and poetry and media theory, you know, in feminist and gender studies, in children's literature. So both the form of how she wrote and the genre were quite radical. And then in addition, just her insistence, for me, one of the things that first came to mind, thinking about when I heard the news of her loss yesterday, was about love and how much love set in the middle of her work always, but, you know, particularly in the last two decades. And that, in this moment, in this world that we live in, is radical. And she, there was not, you know, it was not Pollyanna-ish the way she spoke about it. It was an insistence, you know, something that was necessary for life and for living, and tied very much to all of the things that other people who would call themselves radicals, you know, that it was very much tied to things that we might often think is tied to people who think themselves as radicals, justice and freedom fighting and the like. But for her, really, the center of that was love. And I've been thinking quite a lot since yesterday about the ways that in her work she placed love before justice and before freedom. You know, she says to us, there can be no love without justice. And, you know, that's quite a radical thing. And also a sort of shift in some ways in the civil rights tradition of thinking about justice as extending from love. But she says to us that the inverse is true, that love comes first. And without it, there can be, you know, nothing else, including justice.
I so love that you give us love and yet make the point that this is not a sentimental love. And to know or encounter Hooks, even casually, she was also pretty radically honest. She would say and assess you in a moment with truth, not meanness, but just absolutely what she actually saw. And sometimes people got their feelings hurt by Bell Hooks, by her writing or by her thinking, but she was so committed to it that you really couldn't take it personally. It always required you to pause and think about whatever critique she leveled.
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, one of the other gifts that she left us is this idea that now has become quite commonplace that love is an action, you know, precisely to your point, that it's not sentiment, it's not a feeling. And, you know, that what it means to love others, you know, may not always feel good, may not always, you know, make you come off the page to the reader in a warm and fuzzy place, but it is a kind of commitment to a clarity about what it means to live in a world in which all people have rights and justice and are regarded as equals. And I think, you know, she could be sharp on the page. Those who encountered her in person knew she could also be sharp in person, even though she was diminutive, as you say. But that kind of, you know, honesty, and I'll use again the word forthrightness, is rare, and it is a model. And, you know, it does make one wonder if, you know, sentimentality and niceties are maybe not love, you know, and I think there are political thinking that helps us to, I think, understand what Hooks was trying to teach us, which was that, you know, niceties can be a kind of gaslighting, and underneath mm-hmm. that is not love. Don't expect love to feel the way you want. Expect it to look like a world in which that is lived out in action.
As you use the word teach, what she tried to teach us, among her texts to which I return regularly are her pedagogical text, Teaching to Transgress, Education as a Practice of Freedom, and Teaching Community a Pedagogy of Hope. I find it's important to sometimes pause in the course of grading and lecturing and all of that to actually think about our pedagogy. But I'm wondering if there are texts of hers, whether her books about the interiority of Black women's lives, her early work, her pedagogical work, her poetry, maybe even her children's books. I'm wondering if there's anything that you find yourself returning to.
I find myself returning to, I went back immediately to Ain't I a Woman, which was the first book of hers that I read. I used it in my senior essay in college. And so that's a book that's been, you know, intellectually meaningful and also really transformative for me. You know, I love her essays. I love, you know, her essays on popular culture. I love Black looks. I love, you know, yearnings. And I think yearnings is where she writes to us about the power in the margins, about, you know, speaking from particular places. And I love any of her essays on writing and on being a writer.
I will say, if anyone out there is still looking for holiday gifts for the readers or thinkers or students or teachers or lovers in your life, there are 30 books to choose from. Pull together a Bell Hooks box set of your own for the people that you love in your life. Alondra Nelson, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Melissa.
Alondra Nelson, the Harold F. Linder Professor of Social Science at the Institute for Advanced Study.
Hi, my name is Theron Kigva Masudvashti, and I am calling from Seattle, Washington. For me, it all started with Ain't I a Woman, and her phrase that burned into the zeitgeist of Black feminist languaging that would become the mantra of millions of feminists around the world, and that would be white male capitalistic patriarchy. Growing up Black in a place like Colorado Springs, I didn't often see feminist thought written by Black women in the libraries that I was part of. It wasn't until I started going to Colorado College that I actually discovered bell hooks, and she changed the game for me. I am the feminist today, in large part, because of bell hooks' early writings.
This is Beck calling from Anacortes, Washington. Reading bell hooks changed the way I understood my whiteness and my responsibility for it. She influences my daily work as an educator. Her teaching is in everything, and we will never stop learning from her.
Hi, my name is Mary Poole. I'm calling from Safety Harbor, Florida, which is a part of Tampa Bay. Bell Hooks was extremely influential and meaningful to me. I met her once at a bookstore in Tampa Bay, where she lived for a short time. Her books and her pedagogy were influential in shaping my own, and her take on feminism in particular as a woman of color helped me to shape my own form of inclusive feminism and looking at the world. She was a major contributor, and I'm saddened to see her passing today.
This is Kate McHale, and I'm from Denver, Colorado. I am a part of a group message that talks about books quite a bit, and we send each other our favorite books after we read them. In the last year, two of the women read All About Love by Bell Hooks and just loved it and said it was pretty life-changing for them in a drastic way. So I was excited to get it in the mail, and then I read about three pages and I had the most intense panic attack of my life. Just reading her words about her childhood felt similar to reading, you know, words that I could have written about my own childhood. That was a frightening thing.
Hi, this is Catherine Quince from Portland, Oregon. Bell Hooks means everything to me, and I absolutely would not be here doing this work without her. She was with me all through my education, and she's with me every day in the work that I do. She's a big part of the reason that I bring my full heart to the work and encourage others to lead with love. Such a loss. And also such a gift.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.